Good morning. David Brinkley, when he was 17 years old, it was 1937. David Brinkley worked for the Wilmington Star News. He was an intern, and his editor told him to interview a woman who was celebrating her 100th birthday. She had been born in 1837. She was 13 when the Confederacy bombed Fort Sumter. She was 18 at the Battle of Wilmington, North Carolina, in 1865, when she carried water and bandages to the fallen. What's the secret of her longevity? She's a president of the Garden Club. She worked for the homeowners. What's the secret of her longevity? How did she get her buoyancy? How was she so vital at 100 years old? Find out. So having lemonade and tea on her veranda, he said, "How are you so young?" She said, "Young man, I drink red wine. I eat red meat. And I am an Episcopalian." And he said, "What would you be if you weren't Episcopalian?" "I'd be ashamed." You might know that on the 20th of October, former Vice President Joe Biden was campaigning in South Carolina and went, because he's a practicing Catholic, went to St. Anthony's Catholic Church to attend Mass. The priest there told him he could not serve him communion, because of the vice president, former vice president's commitment to reproductive rights, which the priest judged to be at variance with the teachings of the church. That couldn't happen in the Episcopal Church, right or wrong, couldn't happen. We're a perfect church for people who are not perfect. We're a pretty good church for people who, on their best day, they're just pretty good. What's in a name? Holy Innocents. Holy Innocents Parish was founded in 1872. It is not named for the biblical heroes and heroines of St. Matthew's Gospel who appear at Christmas. It was named for the children who were scattered through Atlanta 7 years after the Civil War. Can you imagine Atlanta 7 years after the Civil War? When development forced Holy Innocents away from Midtown, it came up to Sandy Springs. There was nothing north of us but the Arctic Circle. This was a standalone church, and men and women from this congregation, whom I can name and who are buried near the office of the lower school, established Holy Innocents Parish Day School. I'm proud to say that my daughter and son enrolled here in kindergarten and mother's boarding out in 1978. I'm prouder to say now that they are on the faculty of the school, in the lower school and in the tech department. Our little grandchildren, two of them, are at Holy Innocents School. I give a shout out to the principal of the primary school. You know what it's like for mothers to take little children to the first day of school? If you could gather up those tears, you could fill an ocean. And the principal of the primary school, Mr. Greg Kaiser, came out and knelt down and looked at my little grandson's face and said, "Porter Charles, we are about to become a beautiful school because you are going to be with us. You can't make that up." Of the 60 years, this is the anniversary, 60th anniversary of the school. And I've been privileged to know 40 of them. When I came to the school, Dale Coggins was our head. After a windstorm or a rainstorm or a snowstorm, you'd find Dale sweeping the parking lot, shoveling the snow. That's what we did back then. Alice Malcolm, Edward England, Sue Grosbeck, Joe Reynolds, rector here, is chairman of the board. Those four people brought the Riley School onto the campus and began to develop over the years an upper school. Kirk Duncan brought the mission statement, 19 words. 19 words which are a blueprint for a life. Love of learning. Respect for self and others. Faith in God, and a sense of service to the world community. 19 words. And rightly or wrongly, well done or poorly, they have been a blueprint for my life. I don't remember elementary school much. I can remember going, bits and pieces, but what I remember is a teacher. When my mother died, I had to go back to school. There was no avoiding it. My father and my two sisters took me to the door of the classroom. I felt like I was the only kid in the world without a mother. I can't tell you how depressed I was. And Mary Killian, she was 22 years old. She had a blue dress. I remember it. She was writing on the blackboard in chalk. That's what we did back then. And she turned and looked at me, and she dropped the chalk, got on her knees, held out her arms, and I ran into her arms, and my education started. It continued with love of learning. I have a funny story. I hope you'll get a charge out of it. My wife Mary told me to be very careful about telling it. I was at Georgetown University as a freshman. I was an introductory to philosophy taught by Dr. Francis William Carney. We were doing Plato's Republic. We were in a big amphitheater, about 230, 250 kids. He had a big chart. He had the podium. He could call on you if he felt like it. And he called on me once, right before the end of class. Mr. Porter, Plato uses a word for education, aideon. He uses it in two instances that he wants to relate. One is teacher and student. That's the dynamic. Education exists between teacher and student. He also applied it to client and professional lover. This is where Mary said, oh, John, be careful of that. Can you tell me why Plato would use the word education in the latter and in the former? Well, the bell rang. I was safe. But I heard him mumble, on Tuesday, Mr. Porter, we will wait for you. I forgot all about it. Completely. Not until I sat down in my assigned seat. Oh, well, he won't remember, but he did. Mr. Porter, as we were breaking last time, why does Plato use the word eideon for the relationship between teacher and student and client and lover? And as I said to the 9 o'clock service, I have been given one gift by God. I can speak without facts. Well, I said, it's a relationship of superior to inferior with the classroom. The teacher bestows wisdom and knowledge and information. The student receives it, absorbs it. And there's some snickers in the room now. And so you then process it back and give it back when appropriate. As for the second, again, the client is in a recipient mode. In a recipient mode, and and the teacher and the lover is enough, Mr. Porter. Enough. Your answer tells me two things about you, unfortunately. You know nothing about education. Nothing. And number two, and I hate to say this, but number two, if you have ever availed yourselves of the latter services and paid for them, I can guarantee you, you paid too much. Love of learning. And then he went on to tell us why Plato thought that love was the foundation of the Republic. Because he said, when you teach someone, you make them a pledge, your pledge for a future you will not see. In bestowing to them as a gift, righteous living, justice, peace, harmony, unity, you prepare them to carry the work of your heart on to the future. I don't know if you have this in your order of service. It'd be interesting just to look at these children. The beautiful young woman looking out from the back row, her mom is sitting right here in the congregation today. This was taken some 15 years ago, I would think. They're well on to the future. All seven of them. I get nostalgic for the school. I do. If you look up the word nostalgia in the dictionary, you're going to be disappointed. It says sentimentality. Outrageous. It comes from two Greek words, nostos and agos. Nostos meant home, hearth, fireplace. Agos means sickness. It is home sickness. You can only have homesickness over something and someone you love. I always thought kids in the school were burdened. I don't think they should be coddled. I never thought that. But oh, they carry pressures. You'd be surprised. I used to show a little clip from Little Miss Sunshine to the ethics class, just a little clip. You know the movie? Little Miss Sunshine, doesn't matter. The point is that Dwayne Hoover understands that he can't be a jet pilot for the Air Force because he is colorblind. His uncle, Frank Griswold, played by Steve Carell, that's all you need to know, Steve Carell, is the only one who understands him because, quite frankly, Frank's mentally ill. Dwayne says, I hate high school. I hate school. I hate it all. I wish I never had to go. I never want to go again. All I'm going to tell you is I wish I could go to sleep and miss high school and wake up in college. And Frank said, yeah. You know Marcel Proust? Who? Marcel Proust, the French author, loser, total loser. Spent 22 years writing a book nobody ever reads, and yet it's the greatest book since Shakespeare. Unrequited love affairs, broken dreams, considered a failure, lived alone, real loser. By the end of his life, he said the only thing he ever learned was from suffering. You get great suffering in high school. If you sleep through high school, you're going to miss all that good suffering. Grade A suffering. Prime rib, bone-in suffering. It's the greatest suffering in the world. If you miss all that suffering, what will you learn? I used to sit in the library on Friday when I had no class, and you'd be surprised how many students would come up and sit and talk for 10, 5 minutes. And one young man came. His eyes were as red as tomatoes. He had been crying. He was a senior. So we went out and talked, and I said, "What's happened?" He said, "I've messed up." I said, "How have you messed up?" "I wanted to take Angie to the prom, but I heard Douglas asked her first. And so I asked Jennifer." "Okay." "No. No, it's not okay, because I'm stuck with Jennifer. And I want to go with Angie, because Angie told Douglas, no, she wanted to go with me. And now I know what you're saying. Oh, this is silly." "No, it's not. It's called suffering. It's not your suffering, but it's suffering. I said to him, this is the first time of a million times you're going to suffer from the wound you inflicted on yourself. That's the worst pain of all, isn't it?" He was a golfer. He went on to play golf for Georgia, so he's a good golfer. And I said to him, "You know, they asked Arnold Palmer once, how do you hit a ball out of the rough, Mr. Palmer? He said, the same way you hit it in." In ethics, we used to talk, do the right thing for the right reason at the right time because it's the right thing to do. I'm nostalgic for the school. You should be proud of it because it was born here. I love the students because they're young. And they live in a place where I once lived. And if the planets align and the stars align properly, they may one day live in a place where I live, in old age, in the surrendering of powers, but always with loyalty, gratitude, and joy. If you look at these seven children in this picture, that's all you need to know. Amen.